You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
I'm craving a little perspective.
That's it? I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with a bottle of Cheval Blanc, 1940.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we are uncovering the split-second decisions we all make about anything and absolutely everything, and how these decisions can actually help us or hinder us. You know, also, with the combination of our perception and our attitude and our actions lead to certain results. And it's interesting how we all make these split-second decisions. And I think we make them on everything, every day. I mean, I've done it. I mean, on the way to the studio tonight, I made about 5 split-second decisions about, am I going to make all the red lights or am I going to make all the green lights? I made decisions on what people were going to think of me, how they were going to see me, the way that people were going to invite me into a situation, the way that the locking mechanism on the doors were going to work, all these second decisions I've made. And, you know, I figured out that a lot of times if we actually make these decisions in like a positive way and thought, you know, all of a sudden, like a lot of times the things that could have happened don't happen. Keenan, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm well tonight. I'm trying to avoid making split second decisions, but the thing is, I just cannot help making some of those split second decisions that I make sometimes.
You're human.
Yes, I am human. Yes, my blood is blue in my veins.
It's human to be that way. Bill, how you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing well, and I just made a decision. I'm going to go out for a beer. See y'all.
Okay, peace. Bill's leaving.
Peace.
Well, we'll meet you over there in a little while. We'll definitely be there.
Yeah, y'all got to finish this show first, but yeah.
It was great seeing you, Bill.
Yep.
Have one for me. Yeah, no, it's we all make these decisions, and I think it's interesting how we can make these decisions on anything and everything. I mean, for example, I know this is kind of a slapstick conversation here, but let's just talk about it. Just humor me for a second. I know a lot of people listening have been in traffic. You've been in traffic.
Oh.
You've been late. No, you've been late to work. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. How many people have been late to work? And you're driving and you're like, God, I'm just going to hit every red
light. Blankety blank, yeah.
And everything's just happening to me and the whole world hates on me. And you know, and you're driving all of a sudden you hit every red light. You didn't even know some of these streets had red lights. They must have like created those the night before. I mean, you're thinking they must have built this the night before and I got suckered into driving this way. Oh, and by the way, there's 2 new school zones. Okay, no, it's like if you think that way, usually it pans out that way.
Actually, what goes through my brain is, okay, it's a conspiracy. Somebody doesn't like me today, and they made those red lights turn red on purpose.
It's like someone was looking at me through the satellite.
They knew I was going through there. They knew I was going through there, and they turned it red on purpose.
Yeah, they're looking at me through the satellite.
Yeah.
You know, through one of those satellites, and like every red light camera, and they're like, oh, here he is.
Yeah.
Make it red.
The APB goes out, all idiots, get on the road and get in front of me, you know?
Yeah. It's like, Earth to Keenan.
Yeah.
Change the light. No, it's true. It's like we've all been there before, but we made that split-second decision, right, that said in our mind, this is going to suck. It's going to be bad. I'm not going to get there on time, right? But I actually made this split-second decision earlier, and I hit every green light. I've never seen so many green lights in my life because I said to myself, I'm going to hit every green light. And I did, instead of the opposite that I usually come up with. But I thought that this actually translates into different things. For example, when you walk up to a place and there's like a group of people congregating, right? And like the first thing you think is split-second decision. They're going to like me. They're going to hate me. They're not going to talk to me. I mean, there's like a split second decision you make. And guess what? Doesn't it usually always come to pass?
Well, yes, it does. I mean, sometimes when I'm walking down the street and I see a group of people standing on a corner, the split second decision that I make is don't talk to me, don't talk to me, don't talk to me. And guess what? They don't talk to me because it's like I kind of wish it into fruition. But the thing is, at the same time, when I'm thinking don't talk to me and I'm walking down the street and I make eye contact with one of them, all of a sudden it's like they want to initiate a conversation. But oh, no.
No, that's because it's kind of like the push and pull. That's almost like the relationship scenario where the girl is like, you know, going after the guy. And then the guy's like, oh, I don't want this. But then right when the girl's head turns around and she's not available and she's not, all of a sudden the guy's calling her. And so basically you made eye contact, but then you're acting like you don't want to talk. So now they want to talk to you even more. Right. There's something interesting this guy's got to say.
The fool didn't
freak. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It must be tasty.
Oh, you had to go there.
You brought it up. You started it.
That's not how I meant it, though.
You said the forbidden fruit.
That's not how you did.
He always says that. He drops that. He said it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, forbidden fruit. Yeah. Creation story. I mean,
people want what they can't have.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And they wanted to hear what Keenan had to say. He was going to drop some signs or something on him. They didn't know what was going on.
No, well, the thing is, I mean, like, these particular people who I'm talking about, I mean, like, if I said something like, you know, hey, water is made from two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, they would have no clue what I'm talking about.
They'd be like, I don't drink water, man.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, I don't drink water.
Tell me what's in Coca-Cola. Tell me what's in beer. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, what's the, hey, can you tell me what's, you know, some of the elements of beer, you know, is that on the periodic
table?
Well,
there's hops and barley. We can talk about the way that you can process small batch barrels. No, I mean, yeah, there's yeast. So we can think our way in and out of situations. We can think our way positively or negative in situations. And I think that's interesting because it's funny how our perception plays a role. So first off, we make the second snap decision where we're thinking, okay, boom, this is how it's going to play out. And if you really think about it, it really kind of goes into all facets of our life. I mean, I think about things like that when I walk into a store. Am I going to find what I want? I think about that when somebody calls and you're thinking, you know, within that second what they're calling for. And it's like you can really transform something from being really great to not really good. And I think you can transmute something to being the way you want it to be.
So what you're getting at is self-fulfilling prophecy. You're saying that you can think things into being.
Yes. But it's not just, see, that's the thing is that we've talked about this a little bit, but it's not just, you're right, you can think it, you got to think it first, because you got to do that, because if you don't think one way, then it's not going to happen at all.
It's not going
to
happen
at all. But you got to have this perception, but you also have to act on it, and you have to have an attitude that goes with it, because I think, like, the law of attraction is, it's fine and dandy, and it's a good idea, but it's not really truthful. I mean, you have to think into existence one way or another. If you want, let's say, for example, this day cannot get any worse. This is the worst day of my life. And I don't know about y'all, but I've experienced that before where you, all of a sudden, the day gets really bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
It goes from bad to worse.
Yes, it does.
Like, you're like, oh my God, just kill me now, you know? but if you sit there and you kind of go, hey, and this is in my first book and maybe some in my third book, when you actually stop and you go, okay, it's been a bad day up to now. It's been pretty poor. It's been pretty bad. I'm going to breathe in. I'm going to breathe out. And this bad day is going to end right now. All of a sudden, the bad day's not so bad anymore. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because if you believe it and you're kind of acting toward that it's going to be a bad day, it's like you're creating this day.
Well, I mean, you know, I think we were kind of talking about this before the show. I think that if you say either something bad is going to happen or something good is going to happen, then it's like you put this filter in front of your eyes. And that's how, through that filter, that's how you're going to see what's going on around you.
Well,
and so, you know, like if you go into a room and, you know, let's say your first instinct is, okay, nobody here is going to like me. You know, I'm not going to fit in, and, you know, they're going to think I'm an idiot or whatever. Well, sure enough, that's what's going to happen. You know, it's just that it may not be that people are thinking that. It's just that you've put that filter in front of yourself, and that's how you're viewing the situation.
That's how you're being perceived, and that's how you're perceiving it.
So that's the way it is, whether, you know, they actually think that or not.
I mean, if you approach a human being with hostility, then they're going to give hostility right back to you.
They're going to sense it.
I'm like, if you walk into a room, you know, as if you are all that, and, you know, your farts don't stink, you know?
It's like, I'm glad that Keenan knows who I am. That's a really good one.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, but if a person walks into a room like that, you know, then everyone else sitting in that room will pretty much look at that person and wave at them like, hey, bye, Felicia. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with you. I think that we create our own destiny. I mean, if I was to walk into a room and I think everybody's talking about me, they might not be talking about me, okay? They might be talking about their own things, which they probably are. However, my perception is that they're talking about me. In my outward way of looking and my attitude, they're going to be like, what is wrong with her?
Yeah, therefore, they're talking about you.
They're going to end up talking about you,
and they're going to avoid me, you know? Right. And they might be like, yeah, hey. But really, I've gotten exactly what I wanted. And what I wanted was obviously not to fit in. Because I believed in that. I mean, subconsciously, that's what I had to have wanted to some degree.
And actually, I'll talk about this more after the break. But several times on the show, I've mentioned the worker from hell that I used to work with back when I was working in the insurance business. And it's she was so negative that if you asked her how her day went, she'd tell you. And it was never a good story. And she would make everybody else around her in a bad mood.
I understand.
So. Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about her when we return, you know, because we got to talk about people here. So anyway, stay tuned because we're going to be talking more about split-second decisions, how you can make yours better, how you can also work on your perception, your attitude, and your actions to give your results and the results that you want to happen in your life. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we are uncovering those split-second decisions that we all make about anything and over absolutely everything. You know, and how these decisions can actually help us or actually hurt us. Also, we're talking about our perception, our attitude, and our actions, and how those three equal our results. You know, right before the break, we were talking about how we make these decisions. And when we make these decisions to a certain level, to a certain degree, a positive decision, i.e., I'm going to make every green light, or these people are really going to like me, this group of people that I've never met that I'm walking right up to right now. You know, there's like all these little comments and thoughts that we have, and I think a lot of times our split-second decision-making is basically, I don't know if the word contaminated is right, but I think that that kind of speaks a little bit. It's contaminated when it's in a bad or negative connotation, but I think that we make these snap decisions based on historical reference. So anything that's happened in the past, if it's happened in the past and it's happened maybe several times in the past, or it just happened yesterday, I think that our split second decision is based on, well, this already happened, so this is going to happen again. And so it's hard to change a historical split-second decision-making concept because when you're trying to change that, if you think about it, it's hard because you really are kind of stereotyping yourself into not changing it. Like, you can't make a positive change because you're automatically, theoretically thinking that this has got to happen this way because historically it happens this way all the time. So you'll never get out of that specific rut.
Yeah, I've known people who's like, why do you do that? Because that's the way it's always been done.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Really? I mean, that's it?
Well, yeah, you know, and the saying is, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Einstein's definition of insanity. Yeah,
exactly. But why do people keep doing the same thing? And well, having that historical reference, well, their own personal historical reference does make somewhat of a difference of the decision that they make, you know, whether it's split second or whether they really like sit back and they analyze it. You know, because some of the, you know, speaking of historical references, there are these guys who I deal with every day standing on the corner. I deal with these same guys every day standing on the corner. And all they do every day, all day, is stand on the corner, right? And so, because I keep seeing these guys and I dealt with these guys in the past, and it's like in the past and also in the present, then I am kind of hostile towards them because when I first came in contact with these guys, they were hostile towards me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so you're like, they're going to be hostile back to me, so I'm just going to go on and do it now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, you know, because the thing is, I just got tired of them, you know, asking me for money or, you know, or like anything else, you know, like, hey, where are you going?
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, you're kind of beating them to the punch. You're going to be hostile to them before
they get a chance to be hostile to you. Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, but if it's a stranger, you know, like,
Hey, let's not back off of that. Let's talk about this real quick. So you had these guys on the corner,
right?
And you know they were hostile to you at one point in time, and so you kind of react in hostile as well because you're expecting that. And what if you did your other type of split second decision instead, and actually thought, I don't want to talk to you, and actually just had it where I'm not available to talk with you, and you know, so instead of being like angry or kind of in their face. You know, being able to put some sort of like, and I don't mean to like say some sort of cologne or fragrance, but I'm saying when you put in your head, I'm untouchable, or I'm invisible, or I'm not here. Sometimes people just go on and normally react to whatever you're saying. They might not even see you. I mean, I'm just saying that might be an option.
Oh, I've done that option. I've done that option lots of times, you know. The thing about the hood is this, like, for example, say if you're walking around a nice neighborhood and you have on over the here, headphones on, that is a sign to everyone else, you know, who is around you, do not disturb me. We know whether you have over the ear headphones, on ear headphones, or even, you know, in ear, you know, the earbuds,
yeah.
However, though, in the more low income neighborhoods, that does not matter at all. They will run up to you, say, dog, say, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to be disturbed right now.
Yeah. What do you think I have those headphones on for?
Exactly.
Why do you stop?
Why do I stop? I don't know.
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Because you have to give an excuse when you stop. You go,
exactly.
So why would you stop? And it's and you know, my thought about that is that's kind of rude of them. And so, I mean, would they stop you if you were on the phone with your grandmother? And you're on the phone with your grandmother having a conversation and she's in the hospital and you're on the phone and somebody interrupts that conversation. How do you respond? You don't. You keep on walking. Okay.
Because that's what I've learned today.
Yeah.
You have to. Sometimes when people are disrespectful to your time, mm-hmm. because that's just what they are, is they're trying to steal your time from you to get something from you. Okay. So this could apply to a lot of people listening in this situation is that if you are doing something that is very important to you or you do not want to be disturbed and somebody comes and disturbs you, that's their problem. It's not yours anymore. So theoretically, what you do from now on is you just keep on walking or you just don't even give them any time of day. And eventually they're going to take the hint. And so the next time they see you, they're going to be like, that guy doesn't stop.
That's what I've learned to do since I've moved to the Dallas area. I had to learn it the hard way.
You want to give an excuse because you go, hey, man, I'm just trying to just give me some space. I'm just really trying to listen to my music. I'm just trying to get from point A to point B.
But now you're interacting.
But now you're interacting. But also now you're having to make an excuse for yourself when in actuality, there shouldn't be any excuses.
Right.
I mean, if somebody wants something, that's one thing. I mean, if there's somebody in jeopardy or in trouble or needs your help, that's something totally different. Okay. If somebody got hit by a car and they need you to help or they need you to call the police or do it, that's one thing. But if it's somebody just trying to get your attention to basically get something from you,
right.
That's a totally different thing. And I think a lot of people can understand where I'm coming from because people deal with that all the time. So let's go back to the whole idea of precedence. Remember, like the Supreme Court, we all know how the Supreme Court makes precedence, right? They send it down and they make judgment and they say da 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 da. And so when they always say that they have to go with precedence, they have to vote with precedence. And a lot of times that's how it is like a Supreme Court judgment to our subconscious mind going, well, it's always been this way, and it always will be. We're gonna die with this. We're gonna live with this. But instead, it's like if you kind of go to every situation without the stereotype, we create these stereotypes in our life where I walk up to this situation. Oh God, this is gonna happen. We walk up to that situation. All these people are gonna be jerks. You know, we walk up in this situation. This is gonna happen. I'm always late for work.
Or you know, I've got to deal with this person today. Oh, it's gonna be horrible as usual.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and it's going to be horrible as usual. I mean, it might even be worse than horrible. It could be worse than usual. But if you sit there and you think in your head, this is going to be great. This is going to be good. You know why it's going to work? It's not because you're changing them. It's not because you're doing some sort of like Jedi mind trick or some, you know, I dream a genie thing on them. What you're doing is you're changing your entire dynamic. So when they come at you usually as being a jerk, when you're like, hey, what's up? How you doing? It's really hard to be a jerk to that. Okay, especially if you were actually being honest and honestly feeling this way, when you're like, hey, it's great to see you, and you really feel like that, and you're telling that to that person, it's really hard for them to be a jerk to you. It's really hard because they look like an idiot. Like, it looks so out of place, and it doesn't even go right. And so a lot of times, though, people actually feed off your energy, right? They feed off your preconceived notions, too, because if you walk into it, and you know that every time you talk to Brenda, Brenda's going to bring you down. You know what I mean? And every time you go, oh, God. And you see her coming down the hallway, and she's making the turn, and there's no way out, and you can't take the fire escape because you don't have your passcode key with you, and, oh, God. This is gonna suck. And you walk up and you're like, hey, Brenda.
So let me ask you this. Maybe another way to put this is vibes. If you give out the vibes, you know, that you already know the situation is gonna be bad. And so it's like you're radiating.
The way you think is your vibe.
And other people will pick up on those vibes and they'll respond in kind.
The way you think, so your thoughts in your head are actually create vibrations. They create movement. They create, there's like a memory. It creates these things. And so if you're over there going, oh God, here's Brenda. You know what I mean? And then you're going to react not only by your thoughts and by your demeanor, because you're going to walk up to her a certain way. And then also you might cow down a little bit, but the next thing you know is that your voice level is going to go down.
Which, by the way, everybody out there named Brenda, we're not picking on you.
No, we're not picking on any Brendas.
I know Brendas, and I got a lot of friends that are Brendas, so everybody knows.
I don't know a single Brenda.
Why don't we just turn it to Bernadette? Let's just use Bernadette as the name.
Bernadette.
But right. I really like the name Bernadette. I'm a big fan of the name Bernadette. If I have a child, I'll name her Bernadette. Anyway, I love that name. I don't know why. Anyway, so you see Bernadette, and instead of this time, when you're walking down the hallway, you go, you know what? It's going to be good. It's good. You know? And if you really believe that, you're going to walk around and be like, Bernadette, how you doing? You know? And she's going to be like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, this is different.
Yeah, but it's going to throw her so much that it's not going to be the same conversation. And you're going to be like, hey, it was great to see you. And all, she's going to be like, whoa. And so the next time you see her, guess what? She's going to be a little different. Because, you know, you brought it up a notch, like you said, the vibrations, the tonal. And we'll talk more about that. We'll talk more about stereotypes, about typecasting, about how you're typecasting your past right directly into your future. And that can cause greatness and that can cause yuck. So stay tuned, because we'll talk more about split decisions and how you can change the results into your favor. Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
The galaxy is here!
What do you mean here?
Galaxies, hundreds of millions of stars and planets. How's it here?
You humans, when are you gonna learn that size doesn't matter? Just because something's important doesn't mean it's not very, very small.
How small?
Tiny, like the size of a marble or a jewel. Now, if you'll excuse me, I gotta be warped before my flight.
All right, get out of here.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And you know, tonight we've been discussing and uncovering split-second decisions, the ones that we make about anything and everything, and how these decisions can actually help us or actually hurt us, as well as how our perception, our life perception, our attitude, the actions that we actually follow with our attitude actually lead to our results. And right before break, we were talking about, you know, historical reference and how, you know, when you think about precedents and we make these decisions based on precedents, for example, this has always happened this way in the past, therefore it's going to continue to happen. But that's really the way that you can actually create a change, you know, in your future, in the results. And that starts with your perceptual change, right? The way that we perceive things, the way we stereotype things, the way we typecast the situation. Because if we always feel that when we go into the situation, XYZ is going to happen. There's no option for ABC to happen. It can't happen because you're not optioning it out. I mean, because we're not talking about changing people here, guys. We're not talking about everybody that's listening. It's not that I'm saying that you have fairy dust, and you're changing everything, but actually you kind of are. You kind of are changing the way that people respond to you by the way that you respond to them in the beginning. You know, because the way that you open a response or a conversation or enter a situation and the way that you mindfully think it, as well as Bill talks about your vibrations and your vibes that you're putting out, which is the way you think and your outward actions and your appearance and the way you, your attitude, all that corresponds to how you responded to. I mean, Keenan, you were talking about that right before break. And I think it's so inherent that we actually realize these typecasting and stereotypes that we've created for our own life, to stop using those and to start creating no stereotypes, just to be able to walk into a situation and have it appear situation as it is, not something that's historical precedence, none of that, because everything is kind of a unique deal. And I think a lot of times we try to put identity on something that really doesn't have the same identity. It's like people say apples and oranges, we always hear, but sometimes we're just trying to, like, you know, make things that are two totally different things some sort of agreeable reality. That's just because our mind wants to use it that way. It's easy for our mind to understand, to wrap its brain around something when we try to make it, oh, well, this is kind of like this, you know? So you remember those little blocks we had when we were kids?
You mean Legos?
The ones that you had the square and the circle and the triangle.
Oh,
and
it had
You stick it in the thing.
They use those a lot to kind of test a child's intelligence or a baby's intelligence.
Yeah, like spatial intelligence.
And yeah.
And you know when he, like, if a baby tries to take a square and stick it in a circle, it's not going to go, right?
Right.
If a baby tries to take a circle and puts it into, like, a triangle, that's not going to happen either. No. But a lot of times our minds want to take those triangles, those squares, and those circles and make it all the same thing. And it isn't anything of the same thing. I mean, if I walk into a group of people and Bill and Keenan are there and some other people, right? Mm-hmm. That's a big difference than if I walk into a group of people and there's my neighbors there or somebody else. I mean, you can't sit there and say that this is all the same thing, because it's not.
No, it's not the same thing.
It's not. And so, but the way that you actually go out there and deal with the world can be in a positive way, because you don't have to always think of it in some sort of negative connotation. It doesn't have to be that way. Just because it happened one time, we've all had some bad stuff happen. Just because you got snickered at one time, or just because somebody talked behind your back one time, doesn't mean that everybody's doing it. But the way that we perceive those things can actually make us feel that way, you know? And it could also turn people into being like, man, she sucks, you know? I mean, I don't want to deal with this crap, you know? This doesn't make any sense. So how do we deal with these typecasting? Because I think that a lot of times we do this when we walk into a situation or we're driving to a situation, or let's just say you're going in an interview, or let's just say you're going out on a date. Let's say you're going out on a date.
A blind date.
Even a blind date. Yeah. A blind date, or just a date. And you're thinking, well, it's date 10. Date 10s, well, all my other date 10s have really been bad dates, and this is normally when they break up with me.
Yeah.
So this is going to be the breakup date, you know, and so you go to the restaurant, and you sit down, and you know what you probably do subconsciously is you want to get a table in the back, you know, because you really don't want anybody to hear, so you subconsciously get pushed back to the back, you're in a bad table, all kinds of catastrophes happening, you got the dishwasher people, you got the people banging into the back of your chair. All this stuff's happening, so you basically make something happen. Now, she might not break up with you, but it's not going to be a great date. I mean, it's not going to be a good time at that restaurant, because you're thinking, this is date 10. She's going to break up with me.
Well, yeah. I mean, you already have it programmed in your head that she's going to break up with you. So the thing is, during that date, you're going to say something to tick her off.
Well, in fact, Keenan, you may not even have to say anything. Your body language, tone of voice, she's going to pick up on that something is not right here.
Yeah, so. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? What's going on with Keenan? What's happening? And you know, if you go a step further, so the conversations you might have will be totally different.
Yeah.
You know, you won't be joyful. It won't be all like, you know, oh, this is great. It'll be more like, oh, God, here we go. We're going to the death here, you know? And then you got the whole problems happening, because you've already created this back seat you got here now, because you don't want to sit out in the middle because you know that she's going to break up with you, which she probably isn't. But it's going to be the absolute worst date 10 you ever had in your whole life. But it's perception based on historical reference. And if you just destroy that and realize that this particular woman is different from all other women that you ever dated, and realize that the 10, it doesn't really matter. It was all separate scenarios. Then you can kind of like maybe also realize also what you've done to yourself in the past, the last 5 other date 10s that you had that you screwed up too. Because it wasn't because you're just like somebody that just can't get a date. It's because you believe that this is your drop zone. And this is it. And so there's like people out there that say they haven't had a relationship longer than 8 months, and they call it the 8 month problem. They'll be like, I haven't dated somebody longer than 8 months. Oh, God, we're getting to 8 months. This is not going to be good. And normally they do something to sabotage it. They do, and it's all about that.
Even unconsciously.
Yeah,
they don't even mean to do anything. You know, it's just the vibes that you start putting out.
I mean, they create that unnecessary finish line.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
so actually, you asked earlier, how do we, deal with it? Well, I think that the first thing is you have to recognize that you are typecasting or stereotyping a situation or person or whatever.
I agree with you.
You have to be kind of self-aware of that.
I totally agree with you. And I think that that's so important because as we typecast our snap, these split-second decisions, these snap decisions we made, we make these based on this predicated past reference. And if we can actually realize that we make our decisions based on historical past that has no relevance in the future, has no relevance in the present, you can start to change these split-second decisions. And I think these split-second decisions, for example, let's use that date 10 idea, okay? Date 10, you're at the restaurant, your split decision is like, you know what, this is going to be good. This is going to be fine. All of a sudden, everything else changes because you don't have some preconceived notion that this is going to be the worst night of your life. Because if you believe it's going to be the worst night of your life, it's going to come close. It's going to be pretty bad. And even if it's far from being the worst, you're going to perceive it as the worst because guess what? We create the mood.
Yeah, you've already put that filter, you know, in front of you. Yeah, and that's how that you're viewing everything through that filter.
Yeah, far from rose-colored glasses. Right. You're doing your thing. You're creating the mood. If the mood is hysterical, if the mood is anger, if the mood is happy, if the mood is I am really insecure right now because I have no idea, or if the mood is this is going to be bad.
Now, Ashley, let me ask you this. Let me play devil's advocate, okay? You know, Henry Kissinger, you'll like this, Keenan, historical reference. Henry Kissinger said even paranoids have enemies, okay? So, you know, let's say you go into a situation and what if you're right? I mean, you know, let's say that it's either happened to you or you've experienced enough times to know that this is the way it's going to turn out. And it wasn't that you made it that way. It's just that it is.
If you walk into a situation with good intent and something is amiss, I think there's a lot of ways that we look at this. So let's define this. So you have to first off walk in, though, with a certain you have to actually say to yourself that you're not making some sort of historical reference, which is hard for most people because a lot of us have been beaten down so long by stereotypes and by typecasting ourselves and by this is the way it's always going to happen that you have to actually change that first. But let's say that you've done all this internal work and stuff like that, and you walk into a situation. Like, give me an example. Like,
well, okay, so one of the bases, and this is like a really far out reference here, but one of the bases of astrology is that, okay, if you're born under a certain sign at a certain time of the month with the sun high or the moon high or whatever, you're going to tend to be this type of personality. And the reason, you know, they say that is because, you know, it happened enough times that sure enough, people turned out to, okay. You know,
well,
so
can I say something real quick? I like where you're going with that. I think that this is an interesting concept because have you ever seen like WebMD on the web where you go?
I've seen those commercials, yeah.
Well, you know, you go on the web and you look up, you're like you have a problem. Like, I'm coughing uncontrollably and I can't get off the pot, okay? And so I need to know what consistently goes with that, you know, like, you know, and so it'll give you like the 15 or 20 things that you might have, okay? Astrology to me is something like that. You read a book and it tells you, okay, you're a Gemini and you were born on this date and half of those things are going to fit you, okay? Some of those we're going to make fit us because, well, we're doggone it. That's who we are, and so it's got
to
be right.
According to this, yeah, that's who we are.
According to this, so we take in that. And so we actually make it our own reality. I mean, because you agree, there's certain things about certain signs that, I mean, being that who you was signed. Okay, Bill's a Gemini. And there's certain things that you're not always an extrovert. You're not always an extrovert.
I'm rarely an extrovert.
You're an introvert, and that's the opposite of Gemini.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be a complete extrovert, life of the party, but there are certain things that probably resonate with you, but you're right. If you believe what you read, if you believe in that, or you sit there and say, this has got to be my truth, then it is your truth. Which, it's like going to a psychic. If you go to a psychic and the psychic says you're going to meet your wife here at this library, you're going to be at that library every day waiting out.
Yeah, well, I think astrology is hogwash anyway. But,
astrology is not a science.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying is that, you know, I mean, I understand where you're going, but yeah, you can believe anything. And that's really true. What you just said, if you read something and you believe it to be true, then that's just the same as you walking into a situation believing this is going to be this way no matter what. So stay tuned because we're going to talk more about that. I like that concept. Stay tuned. We're going to talk more about stereotyping. We're going to talk more about these split-second decisions we make and how you can actually get the results that you want every time. Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in tonight, I hope you're not, but if you just are, we've been discussing and uncovering the split-second decisions, how we make them, and why we make them about everything, as well as how split-second decisions can actually help you or hurt you. And a lot of times, the split-second decision is one part of it, it's one facet, but it really culminates because it's all about your perception on life. It's all about your attitude. It's all about your actions. So the decisions that we make when we go into any situation, that split second decision we make can change our attitude. Well, it does change our attitude and it changes our actions. And the only way that you can really honestly change that is by realizing that you can create your own mood. You create the mood of the surroundings as well. So if you think about it, when you walk into a situation, if you're creating a situation that's just angry or upset or kind of nasty, because you have these feelings inside that aren't good, you're going to walk in, you're going to have a hostile situation. Whereas if you walked into the situation with some sort of positive outlook, you know, with the snaps, you know, decisions maybe not making it or having kind of an open mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe just have an open mind, don't have any preconceived notions.
Just walk in with a blank slate.
Yeah.
Blank slate, tabula rasa, if you can. But, you know, us humans, it's hard.
Yeah. It is. It's easier said than done.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to say, oh, well, just don't do it. But most of the time, we do it even unconsciously. Yeah.
See, not everybody's like Ashley can have an empty head.
Oh!
I love you, Ashley.
It's a fish tank, you know? I got a couple of goldfish in here. And I just, like, you know, I just open my hair part right here, and then I feed the fish, and then I close it back down.
The little flakes. Yeah, little flakes.
It's self-cleaning. Ooh, that was kind of weird. That kind of gave me the shivers. But yeah, it could be kind of interesting. And you're right. You either have to stop making the decisions, or you have to look at your decisions in a different way. And a lot of cool ways of doing it is to reverse it, because most of our decisions are normally kind of negative. That's just the way our human conscious kind of works sometimes, because if you had a precedence of bad things happening, you're going to assume it's going to happen again. So maybe doing the flip-flop, you know, so like we talked about seeing Bernadette. Instead of that, you do the flip. Oh, it's great to see Bernadette. This is going to be great. And, you know, instead of saying I'm going to be really late to work because I'm going to hit every red light. No, I'm going to hit every green light. And it's like, if you really put it out there, you have to realize that you make your own game. We actually create our own game. We create our own heaven. We create our own hell. Which one would you rather have? I mean, I'd rather choose to be, like, kind of happy. I mean, that's my choice.
Yeah.
I'd rather choose to have that. I mean, wouldn't you rather choose that? I mean, but what's funny is that our mind allows us, the mind and the world and the way our attitude and our actions allow us to have results. We're allowed to pick anything we want. Did you know that? Like, we're actually allowed to.
Yeah, I mean, we are allowed to pick it, you know, whatever it is that we want to pick. But a lot of it does come from the past, you know, and like the way you're, you know, reared or brought up, whatever words you want to use or anything like that. You know, even though, I mean, like sometimes people's brains are just kind of hardwired a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, my brain is kind of hardwired to where it's just, you know, I'm just going to just blank it out. Blank slate.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
Everybody listening can do that with meditation. There's certain heart space meditations you can look at that can quiet the mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's breathing exercises you can do. And then, like you said, you know, it's just like kind of coming from a different perspective where I'm not going to expect anything. One way or another, I'm going to walk into it the way it is. And I think we were talking about this on break. I had somebody the other day say, well, you got to be prepared. What if they ask you this? And I go, I don't have to be prepared for anything. I'm not going to sit here and coach myself if ask me this. I should be coaching myself on 2 other million ideas that I know they might ask me. No, just go in with no preconceived thoughts, because otherwise you're going to be immobilized. You're going to be like going through that Rolodex of thought. Oh, I thought they were going to ask me this.
Mm-hmm.
But they clearly didn't ask me that. They asked me this, and I wasn't prepared for this. Well, yeah, you'd be prepared if you weren't thinking about the other. If you weren't thinking about answering that one question that you had prepped all the way up there.
The thing is, I mean, like, you're anticipating the reaction in a way, you know, because it's like, how could I describe it? It's almost like everyone is running around with this script, right? It's just, you know, just this metaphorical script, and person A says one thing, and then person B is supposed to say something back to them.
But you can change that.
Which is on the script. And the thing is, you can change the script. Mm-hmm. You can change the script if you want to. Instead of going right, go left.
And you can just say what you feel in a positive way in your own manner, and you change it all.
Exactly.
Because they're expecting you to go back with what they're coming back with.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that a lot, the mirroring thing. Like, if I walked up to you and I was like, go suck it, you'd be like, oh, what the heck did I do? You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? Instead of being like, hey, Ashley, you okay? What's going on? You know, and it's like, if you change that, you can change up the whole script. They might want you to play a role, but you don't have to play that role because it's your own game.
Right.
And you come into play. It's you. It's yours to win. And we talked about this, too. What about you make your own bed and you lie in it? And I think that when we make our bed, you know how you make your bed, right? You pull up the sheets, you pull up the blanket, you pull up the comforter, you put on you do all this kind of stuff. And when you're making your bed, you're like, you're creating your mood. Okay. You're making these snap decisions. But on top of that, you're also creating your life perception. You're making this attitude. This outward attitude is everything. If I walk in and I'm happy and I'm jovial, you know what? People are going to be probably pretty happy to be around me. If they're not, then they're just always just the way they are. But you're not trying to change other people. You're just trying to make your own outlook on life good. Because, you know, it's all about the way you perceive. Like, what do they say? You can see the world as a very scary place, or you can see the world as a very safe place. And however you see it is usually going to be the way that it looks.
You know, Ashley, that's not going to work because everybody will hate me. So I'm just not going to do it.
I thought you were going to go get a beer. I thought you were headed to the bar earlier.
I thought you were about to go down
the street. Bill's come back from the bar.
Yeah, I came back.
And he's had some talks over there, yeah. And everybody else is feeling pretty. Yeah, no, but I get what you're saying, though. I mean, a lot of people, but they don't necessarily feel that way on the out. Like, they don't think everybody's going
to
hate
you. You know, Ashley, something just occurred to me. It's lazy may not be the best word to use, but I think, you know, a lot of people, you're comfortable with the devil you know rather than the devil that you don't. And so, you know, if you have preconceived notions or you're expecting, you know, something to happen, it's because, you know, even if it's a negative thing, you're still more comfortable with it.
I think the big deal, I see your point. I think the big deal is that people feel powerless. They feel like they have no power.
Well, they have a sort of power by feeling powerless.
Okay, but I think a lot of people don't think that they can change anything anyway. They don't think that their attitude, right, or their decision-making or their perception can change anything because they feel like everything is bigger than them. The world acts upon them. The stoplights stop them. The people are mean to them. And they don't feel like they can be anything they want to be. Like, they just feel like everybody has more power than them, and when they realize that the power is within to change their whole situation, their destiny, the way that they're talked to, the way that they're looked at, the way that they're respected, all is based upon the way that they outwardly are. Because if I walked in here and, like, if Bill looked at me and said, I'm the worst producer, I can't produce this show is gonna go really bad, okay, I'm gonna be like, oh crap, this is gonna be a really bad show. Oh, this is going to be awful. But instead, when Bill comes in here, he's like, this is great. I'm on top of things. I feel really good. This is great. Everybody feels more, even if it was the first time we were working together.
Right, right.
Everybody
right.
feels a lot more comfortable. Everybody's like, oh, well, he's got it all under control. And it's like when you walk into a room and you got a scowl on your face, and you're stressed out, or you're wondering if everybody's out to get you. You know, it's funny how when you feel like everybody's out to get you, everybody seems to be out to get you, but they might not be at all. It's like when you see the world, like when you see people go, oh, we're in a bad neighborhood. This is a real bad neighborhood. And you're like, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, this is a bad neighborhood. Okay. If they think it's a bad neighborhood, I don't think so. But if they do, then it's classified as a bad neighborhood for them. And they're always going to have a bad situation with it. They're going to have a bad feeling about that place. Just like when they walk in with a group of people. So you have the ability to change that snap decision and say, I'm going to look at the world in a different way. I'm going to stop making my past dictate my future. Because how many times has going back to the past ever helped anybody?
It doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. What's the saying? Yesterday is history.
Is this a movie?
No. Mike Ditka said it.
Oh.
Coach Mike Ditka. Yesterday's a history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present.
The present.
Yes. Or what was something that my grandmother used to say? Yesterday is the past. And the future never comes because we always live in the present.
That's so true.
Yeah, tomorrow never comes.
Never comes because we always live in the present. The thing is, though, if you keep dwelling on what happened yesterday or even 5 minutes ago, then the thing is, though, what happened yesterday or 5 minutes ago, it's just going to keep happening again and again and again, like the butterfly effect.
Awesome. I like that. Words to live by. Live in the present. And also realize that you can change your decisions. You can make better snap decisions or you can stop making them. But by the way, it's all about your attitude. It's all in your actions, because guess what? Your beliefs create attitudes. Your attitudes create actions, and those actions create results. So stay tuned. We got a great show for you next week, and we hope that your life just gets a little bit better and a little bit happier. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, we'll be back in 3 shakes.